Welcome to the Real Refreshment Podcast. Join us as we dive into motherhood at the foot of the throne with your host, Rachel Carmen. If you are tired, overwhelmed, and feeling alone, this is the place for you. A place for real moms with real stories, seeking real refreshment found only in the living God. You can visit rachelcarmen.com to join her online community of moms who are taking the dare to be in the Word themselves as a top priority in the journey of motherhood. While you're there, be sure to sign up for updates, and you will also receive a free gift from Rachel when you sign up. All right, let's kick off this latest episode of the Real Refreshment Podcast. Here's your host, Rachel Carmen.
Hey, moms. I hope you're having a great day today. It is a beautiful day in Charlotte, North Carolina. I am here with my little puppy, Flosy Posy, and we are hanging out with you for another day. Today, I want to take the next step in the series I started at our last podcast about what God is currently teaching me at this difficult life intersection I find myself in. And I want to welcome you if you too find yourself at one of those places in life that is particularly challenging and difficult, or perhaps you are a friend to someone who is in a difficult time right now, or maybe you are in a beautiful, peaceful time in joy, right? And I want to talk to you about what I've learned so far and some things that have been really a blessing and some things I think that I can share with you and hopefully will encourage you. So number one, I just want to remind all of us that it's a good thing to be human. And one of the things I think we slam into when we come to these difficult things is just the reality of our humanity. We are not superwomen, but there's even better news than that. We're not called to be. And that is really good news. When we get to these places, when life is really super hard, and, you know, I had my mom's group here just last night, and I have one woman, one young mom who just gave birth a couple of months ago and one who's about to. And we were talking about getting sleep, you know, those first few weeks when you've got that newborn. It's a glorious time. Here's this brand new person from the hand of God, this brand new human being that you've been blessed with. And yet, oh, it's hard to get any sleep, right? And you were reminded when you're not sleeping just how human you are. And I'm reminded about the passages in the Psalms that say, we have a God that never slumbers or sleeps. And yet, in our humanity, we must get some rest. But sometimes we slam into circumstances, whether it is the blessing of a new baby or it is trials and tribulations that we have to walk through, and rest is hard to come by. And we are reminded about how human we are and how frail we are and how weak we are and how pain in this life is a real thing. And those, I'm going to suggest to you courageously, are good things. But they are painful things to remember. I like the idea that I can get it all done, that I can play hard or go home, right? That I've got it. But the reality is that those things are just simply not true. That I am in desperate need of God all the time. And I need him. And he is inviting me to stay in that knowledge of just how much I need him. So as I am sitting in this life circumstance, I have jotted down just a few things that God has already taught and or reminded me of, and I wanted to share those with you in hopes that they would bless you personally or perhaps as you minister somebody else. The first thing I want to remind all of us is the power and the importance of preparation. So wherever you find yourself today on your life's journey, if you again are in a very peaceful place or perhaps you're in a very stormy place, I want to just remind you it is important and it is powerful to be a prepper. And what I mean by that is don't wait until the crises of life that, by the way, happen inevitably. We cannot stop them. We all slam into situations that make our heads spin, right? All of us do. Sometimes we get there because we did it. We are the ones that orchestrated the hot mess. And sometimes we end up being in a hot mess of somebody else's decision. And so either way, it would behoove us to prepare in advance for what we know is inevitable in this life. And what I mean by that is developing daily and personal rhythms and ways of going through our lives that minister to our hearts, our minds, and our souls, and that actually inevitably give us strength to weather the storm. I want to encourage you not to wait until things get really hard to anchor your soul. And so there are a few things that I wanted to remind you of that are just so powerful in your daily rhythms. I'm talking about quiet times. I'm talking about liturgies. Tish Harrison wrote a book a few years ago entitled Liturgies, A Liturgy of the Ordinary, wherein she talks about the powerful daily routines and rhythms that we can get into that minister to our souls. And that's what I'm talking about. You may hear Christians talk about the powerful importance of quiet time. When you take time, when you set a period of time aside to be with God, to read His Word and to pray and to listen and to praise and to seek Him. That's what I'm talking about. So I'm going to talk about some of the components of being a prepper. First is spending time in God's Word, meditating on the truth of His Word. So during this particular time, it has been a very, very simple passage that has ministered to me, and it's simply been the 23rd Psalm. And it's a passage of Scripture that I memorized a long time ago, probably as a child, and just as I've spent time during this moment, this intersection, that is the passage that the Holy Spirit has brought up. And one of the things that I think is so powerful about this idea of prepping in advance and adopting rhythms and routines of quiet time with God in advance of the crisis of life is that you have all of these things already in your heart and your mind, right? These are already things that you've meditated on such that when life slams into you, when you find yourself sucked into a vortex or broadsided or however you want to describe it, the Holy Spirit, it's like He literally goes to the file index of your heart and your mind and pulls out things that you've already put there. Remember, the psalmist says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you, right? So we've put already God's word into our heart. And then when it's times of crisis or trial come, those are the things that the Holy Spirit brings up to remind us. And so in this moment for me, particularly the verse that has come to me over and over is the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not be in need. Even though I feel like I've got a million needs right now, I can lean in and rest in the knowledge of knowing that the Lord is my shepherd. And so spending time regularly in God's Word, letting it bathe you with the truth, capital T, God's Word is truth. And it is the ministry of that truth in our hearts and our minds when everything else is swirling, when the storm is raising, when the thunder is rolling. We need the anchor of our soul. We need to know what we know, what we know. When other things we don't know, when we have more questions and no answers because of the circumstances of life, we need to be able to have a point, a foundation, a true north that we can go to. And I would suggest to you that is found in God and in His Word. Secondly, I love the hymns. If you know me at all, my hymn book is one of my favorite things. I have one that sits up on my dryer upstairs for all of those years that I folded all of that laundry for 9 people. And I just would sing through my hymnal. I was a product of, you know, I was born in 1966, so I was raised in a church that had the hymnal. And all of those hymns, all of those Sundays, sitting on the second pew and listening to the hymn song sung Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. And those were formative for me, right? And I've got just like the scriptures that I've meditated on and I have marinated in all of these years, I've got those hymns. And I wanted to share with you today just four that God has brought to me through this current storm. And there's a theme here that you will notice. And these are old hymns. I actually printed them off to share with you some of the stanzas today. One is an oldie but a goodie. Master, the tempest is raging. Master, the tempest is raging. The billows are tossing high. The sky is o'ershadowed with blackness. No shelter or help is nigh. Carest thou not that we perish? How canst thou lie asleep when each moment so madly is threatening a grave in the angry deep? Master, with anguish of spirit, I bow in my grief today. The depths of my sad heart are troubled. Awaken and save me, I pray. Torrents of sin and of anguish sweep o'er my sinking soul. And I perish, dear Master. Oh, hasten and take control. Can you hear the urgency in these words, in these verses? I have sung these verses with tears dripping off my chin in the midst of this, reminded of that moment that we have in biblical writ of the time when Jesus is in the boat with his disciples. He's asleep. He is asleep. And there is a storm raging. And the disciples are fearful for their life. When the master of creation is in the boat with them. What strikes me about that passage is they had nothing to fear. He was with them. There was no wave that could take that boat under. There was no lightning that could strike them. There was no thunder that could really damage them. No, he was with them. He was right there. And that has been such an encouragement to me to remember that I feel so threatened and so vulnerable and so intimidated by the life circumstances. And yet, Jesus is with me. I am not alone in this storm. Yes, the tempest is raging, but he is with me. And that has given me great comfort. Another song that I have sung over and over during this time. And again, this has been the Holy Spirit has brought the words and these lyrics to mind. And if you're not familiar with the hymns, I would commend them to you to learn and to study and to practice and to sing and to let them form you. There's just such beautiful lyrics and music, and yet the profound nature of these words really minister to your soul. This is another one. Maybe this one might be more familiar to you. It is well with my soul. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, you have taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate. In other words, Christ is aware of where I am in the ocean of life, whether I'm in a storm or I am in the doldrums where it's just incredibly calm. He is aware of where I am, and he has shed his own blood for my soul. I love this hymn. Then this last weekend, as we were out in the creation of God, we were along a river on a bike trail, actually, Davis and I were, and this is the hymn that the Holy Spirit brought to me. Like a river, Like a river glorious is God's perfect peace, over all victorious in its bright increase, perfect yet it floweth, fuller every day, perfect yet it groweth deeper all the way. Hidden in the hollow of his blessed hand, never foe can follow, never trial can stand. Hidden in the hollow of his blessed hand, never foe can follow, never traitor stand. Not a surge of worry, not a shade of care, not a blast of hurry touch the spirit there. Every joy or trial falleth from above, traced upon our dial by the Son of Love. We may trust him fully, all of us to do. They who trust him wholly find him wholly true. And as I was on that path on my bike, the Holy Spirit of the Almighty was ministering to me that I can count upon him. This stanza is stayed upon Jehovah. Hearts are fully blessed, finding, as he promised, perfect peace and rest. See, so often I want peace, meaning I want the storm done, right? I want him to calm the storm. And I love that it was a pop song a few years ago. Sometimes he calms the storm and sometimes he calms his child, right? Sometimes he extends to us peace in the midst of the chaos. And that was such a great reminder to me. And then this is the fourth hymn that God has used to really minister to me. Count your many blessings. Which is a great reminder, right? It goes like this. When upon life billows you are tempest tossed. When you are discouraged, thinking all is lost. Count your many blessings. Name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. I love what this says here. Count your many blessings, name them one by one. In other words, you need to slow down. Don't just say, thank you for my health. Say, thank you for my feet that carry me. Thank you for my eyes that see. Thank you for my ears that hear. Are you hearing this? One by one, slow down and count your many blessings. Remember, it says, what the Lord has done. Remember, remember. And so again, the importance and what ought to be a priority in setting those daily rhythms, spending time with him in his word, praising him with the hymns, and then obviously spending time in prayer, praying to him. And I've talked to you before about one of my favorite prayer books that I like to use is The Valley of Vision. It's a collection of Puritan prayers. And I'm here to tell you, that book ministers to me when upon life billows, right? When I feel like I just don't know what else to pray. I can pray the prayers of those who have gone before, men and women who were devoted to the things of God, who poured out their hearts, and I can pray through those prayers. And we also know that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us when we don't know what to pray. But spending that time, laying it out before him, seeking him, listening to his voice, it is so important to pray and in preparation, because as I have been doing those things, right, spending with time with God in his word, praising him, singing the hymns, praying, right? As I've been doing that, I have been storing up treasure for myself so that when life slams into me or I slam into life, whichever way it happens, right? And I'm not sure it matters sometimes, but I find myself in this painful, chaotic circumstance. These truths of God minister to my soul, and the Holy Spirit is able to use these things that I have been storing up to bless me and encourage me. Another tool that I've used during this time have been books. It's so important that we make sure that what we're putting into our minds, especially when we find ourselves in a trial or a difficulty, are those things which would draw our attention upward. And I love to read biographies of missionaries and you know, Through Gates of Splendor is one of them, by Elizabeth Elliot's works, A Chance to Die, Amy Carmichael. I just read a biography of Adoniram Judson, On the Golden Shore. These are the kinds of books that even in the midst of storm can encourage and settle me and grant me peace and perspective. And I'm very, very grateful for those. And so we see that I've experienced, and I hope that you can too, the importance of preparation so that when the storms come, we have all of these things already that God can bless us with. The second thing that God is reminding me of the value of is journaling, is getting a pen and paper and writing it down. And most often I'm writing out my prayers to God. I'm writing out my questions and my confusion and my frustration. And I find it a great place to just pour it out before Him. There is a quote, and I don't know who to attribute it to, that says, many a knot has been untied by the string at the end of a pen. There is a quote, and I don't know who to attribute it to, but it says something like, many a knot has been unraveled through the end of a pen. And I have indeed found that to be true, that when I feel like my mind is just racing and everything up there is in knots and I have all these questions and all of this frustration and this angst, if I can just write it down, often in the form of a prayer, God can give me so much insight through that exercise. I can get it out of my head and I can get it down on paper and I can see God over and over answer those prayers. And we see this example in the Psalms. When you read and study the Psalms, which are another great tool during trials, is to just read through the Psalms. You see this pattern. You see the psalmist, David, often come and just like, how long? This is just awful. This is terrible. And then he ends up at the end, you know, he's pouring out his heart to God. And then at the end of the psalm, he's praising God, trusting God, leaning into God. And that's how I find my journaling to be. I start out just going, God, I don't understand. Please help me. Please show me. I'm so frustrated. I'm so tired. I feel so alone. I don't know what to do. And then in the end, as I'm pouring it all out before Him, it's like, but I trust You, and I know You've got this, and I know that You're faithful, and I'm thanking You in advance for what You're going to do, even though I can't see it now, right? And that comes through journaling. So rhythm is huge, preparing in advance. Second is journaling, and third is people. You've heard me say it so many times, we need each other. And we need people, prayerful people in our lives that are going to dare to walk alongside us. I wrote these things down and I was thinking about Job when I was thinking about this list. We need people and friends who are going to listen and pray with us, who are going to wait with us, weep with us, counsel us, stay with us, check in, rinse and repeat. We need people who are going to be willing to stay the course with us in the storm, right? That are not going to abandon us, but that are going to hold up our arms up, that are going to dare to encourage us, that are going to listen with us, that are going to hug us when we need a hug, that are going to call us, right? And here's the other side of it. We need to dare to be those friends, right? Life is hard. Life is hard enough when we're in the middle of the problem. And it's hard when it's somebody else. And just like we need those people to stand with us when life is really hard, we need to dare to be those people who stand with us. And I'm so grateful for the women who are standing with me through this, who have cried with me, called me, comforted me, counseled me, challenged me through this whole thing. I'm so grateful. And I'm already looking forward to the opportunity to doing that, having learned so much from them and how they've encouraged me through this so that I can pay that forward and be that for someone else. Lastly, I just want to share with you a few more things that God, I found this in my journal, some things that He has challenged me to step away from in the middle of the storm and some things He has invited me to lean into in the middle of the storm. So first of all, He has invited me to step away from worthless distraction. I'm sure that you have had the experience in the middle of a chaotic storm, time of trial or pain or loss or wounding, where the enemy is just desperately trying to distract you from what God is trying to teach you, from the reality of God, from the presence of God, right? And I just want to say that this is an opportunity to lean into the Almighty, lean in to Him, lean into His Word, lean into praising Him, lean into seeking Him, and step away from worthless distraction. Number two, step away from denying your humanity. Don't buy into what the world says about buck up, chin up, never let them see you sweat. No, 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 no. Don't do that. Acknowledge your humanity. Acknowledge your need. Acknowledge your wounding. Acknowledge your pain and take all of it to Jesus. Take it to Him. He's the only one that can heal that. He's the only one that can take it. So don't deny it. It's only detrimental to you. It only ultimately makes things worse. But acknowledge it and take it to Jesus. Number three, step away from known temptation. So whatever you already know your weakness is, whatever that is, and you know what it is, we all know what it is, right? Whatever it is, run. Don't hang out. There's a saw, one of the Proverbs says, don't even look down that road. You know, run away from whatever you know your weakness is. Stay far away from it. Don't flirt with it. And instead, lean into the known truth of Jesus Christ. Go to what you know to be true. Sometimes in the middle of a storm, nothing looks right anymore. I remember when I was a little girl, I got lost from my mother a couple of times in a store. And there's just nothing more terrifying, at least when I was a little girl, than to not know where my mom was in a store, surrounded by strangers. And my mom taught me to go back to the last place I saw her. And that is really good advice. I remember having to do that several times as a child. And you know what? I always found her when I went back. And that's often what we need to do. Go back to the truth that you know. Don't wander any further off. Go to the truth you know. Run to Jesus. Number one, two, three, four. Step away from chaos and confusion. Insofar as it is possible for you, don't add to it, right? And lean into the calm of the Creator. I want to dare you, especially when everything feels like it's just spinning. When you just feel like everything is totally out of control, step outside and breathe in deeply the beauty and the wonder of creation. Step away. Get out into creation. This is exactly why several times during all of this, I have intentionally done a variety of things out in creation. I've gone to the beach. I have gone on hikes. I have gone on bike paths. I have done everything I can to get out into the glory of God's creation and remember who's in control. Next, step away from panic. When all the kids were home, we used to teach them what to do in an emergency. And the first emergency rule was don't panic. And why is that the first emergency rule? Because once you panic, you can no longer think clearly. And I'm just going to be honest with you, in the midst of all of this, I have just been really, really close to panic on more than one occasion during this whole thing. Because it just seems like that is the right, that's the only response would be panic, because I don't know what else to do, right? I mean, it's a mess. And yet, the best thing for me to do, the best thing for you to do is to lean into prayer. So right at that moment of panic, to just begin praying, Father God, everything in me wants me to panic. Everything points to panic. And yet I know that that is not the best thing for me. I pray that you would hold me back from panic. I pray that you would show yourself mighty. I pray that you would hold me. I pray that you would show me. I pray that you would mold me. I pray that you would grow me, Father. Father, be so present that I cannot deny your presence with me, right? So step away from panic. Lean into prayer. And finally, step away from self. when we find ourselves in circumstances like this, the world screams, oh, you got to take care of yourself. You've got to indulge yourself. You've got to do for yourself. And I'm going to suggest to you that the best thing is to lean into service, to think of other people, to think of someone else that you can serve or that you can help or that you can point to God, to not start belly button gazing, right? I mean, we've got to make sure that we are not so inward focused that we fall in and cave in on ourselves, but instead we seek to serve others. Look out and above, because I'm promising you, if you're in a storm, if you're at a messy intersection, if you've been broadsided, there are other people who are weak and wounded. Tend to them, right? Tend to them. So this is just part of what God has taught me so far. Some of these things, I'm grateful for the review he's shown me in the past, and I had forgotten. Some of the other ones are brand new, and I am so, so grateful. But as we look forward to our next week's podcast, we are going to talk about where do we go from here. So not because it's over, not because the whole scene of the accident is all cleared up, but because we must go forward. What does it look like to go forward when life is coming at you fast? Again, thanks for joining me today, and I look forward to being with you next time.
Thank you, listeners, for joining us. If you've enjoyed the show, please subscribe to our podcast wherever you are listening. And while you are there, can you leave us a rating or a review? This just helps us to get the message out to other moms that need to be encouraged in their roles as mothers today. If you have a question, we invite you to send it to rachelcarman.com/podcast. And while you're there, you can access Rachel's wonderful resources and Real Refreshment, the online community. Moms, more than ever, we really do need each other. We need to be challenged, and we need accountability in the Word. I hope you will join us, and we'll catch you in the next episode of the Real Refreshment Podcast.
Hey friends, Nicole Yunus here from the How to Study the Bible podcast. I want to invite you to experience a fresh look at the story of Joseph and what it means for you today. Life can totally throw us for a loop, whether it's your family or your marriage, work, church, or something else entirely. Maybe you have found yourself in a season that you never would have expected and that you certainly wouldn't have signed up for. In this 6-week Bible study together, we're going to talk about the biblical story of Joseph, a man who lived an unexpected life and trusted God through it all. We'll talk about the blessings he experienced, the promises God keeps, the way that tests of our character can actually refine our faith. We'll talk about patience. We'll talk about loss. Absolutely talk about redemption. So come join us for the 6-week series over on the How to Study the Bible podcast. Can't wait to dive in with you.